Yes, we are.
No. Two of you are on your way out.
Her smile turned chilly.
I know that the invitation said only one person could be brought with you. Therefore, one of your companions is not under the protection of the old laws, wizard. If the knight is unprotected, then he and I will have words. A pity you do not have Amarakis with you, Sir Knight. It would have made things interesting, at least.
I got a sinking feeling in my gut. And if it isn't Michael?
Then you keep offensive company, wizard, and I am displeased with you. I will demonstrate my displeasure decisively.
Her gaze swept to Susan.
By all means, choose which two are leaving, then I will have a brief conversation with the third.
You mean you'll kill them? Mavra shrugged, finally breaking her stillness. I thought I heard a faint crackling of tendons, as though they'd protested moving again.
One must eat, after all. And these little dazzled morsels the Reds brought tonight are too sweet and insubstantial for my taste.
I took a step back and turned to Michael, speaking in a whisper.
If I get Susan out of here, can you take this bitch?
You might not as well whisper, Harry, Michael said. It can hear you.
Yes, Mavra said. It can.
Way to go, Harry. Endear yourself to monsters, why don't you?
Well,
I asked Michael, can you? Michael looked at me for a moment, his lips pressed together, then he said, take Susan and go. I'll manage here. Mavra laughed, a dry and raspy sound.
So very noble, so pure, so self-sacrificing.
Susan stepped around me to close a triangle with Michael and me. As she did, I noticed that Mavra leaned back from her, just slightly.
Now, just a minute, Susan said. I'm a big girl. I knew the risks when I came here.
I'm sorry, Miss Rodriguez, Michael said, his tone apologetic. This is what I have to do.
Save me from chauvinist pigs, Susan muttered.
She turned her head around to me. Excuse me, what do you think you're doing?
Taking a look at your picnic basket, I responded, and flipped open one cover. I whistled.
You came armed for bear, Miss Rodriguez. Holy water, garlic, two crosses. Is that a 38? Susan sniffed. A 45. Garlic, Michael mused. Above us on the stairs, Mavra hissed. I glanced up at her.
The Black Court was nearly wiped out, Thomas said. I wonder if that's because they got a little too much publicity. Do you mind, Miss Rodriguez?
I reached into the basket and produced a nice, smelly clove of garlic, then idly flicked it through the air toward Mavra. The vampire didn't retreat. She simply blurred and then stood several steps higher than she had been a moment before. The garlic clove bounced against the stairs where she'd been and tumbled back down towards us. I bent down and picked it up.
I'd say that's a big yes.
I looked up at Mavra.
Is that what happened, Stoker published the big book of Black Court vampire slaying?
Those drowned blue lips peeled back from their yellowed teeth. No fangs.
It matters little. You are beings of paper and cotton. I could tear apart a dozen score of your kind.
Unless they'd had an extra spicy pizza, I guess. Let's just get out of here, guys.
I started up the stairs. Mavra spread her hands out to either side and gathered darkness into her palms. That's the only way I can explain it. She spread out her hands and blackness rushed in to fill them. Gathered there in a wreathing mass that shrouded her hands to the wrists.
Try to force your way past me with that weapon, wizard, and I will take it as an attack upon my person and defend myself appropriately.
Cold wash over me. I extended my senses toward that darkness warily, and it felt familiar. It felt like frozen chains and cruel twists of thorny wire. It felt empty and black, and like everything that magic isn't. Mavra was our girl.
Michael,
I said, my voice strangled. Steel rasped as he drew one of his knives.
Susan said, why are her hands doing that? Can vampires do that?
Wizards can, I said. Get behind me. They both did. I lifted my hand, my face creased in concentration. I reached out and tried to call in my will, my power. It felt shaky, uncertain, like a pump that had lost its prime. It came to me in dribs and drabs, bit by bit, stuttering like a nervous yokel. But I gathered it around my upraised hand in a crystalline azure glow, beautiful and fragile, casting harsh shadows over Mavra's face. Her dead man's eyes looked down on me, and I had an abrupt understanding of why Michael had called her it. Mavra wasn't a woman anymore. Whatever she wasn't a person. Not like I understand people, in any case. Those eyes pulled at mine, pulled at me with a kind of a horrid fascination, the same sickly attraction that makes you want to see what's under the blanket in the morgue, to turn over the dead animal and see the corruption beneath. I fought and kept my eyes away from hers.
"Come, wizard," Mavra whispered, her face utterly without expression. "Let us test one another, thou and I."
I hardened the energy I held. I wouldn't have enough juice to take 2 shots at her. I'd have to take her out the first time or not at all. Cold radiated off of her. Little wisps of steam curling up as ice crystals formed on the steps at her feet.
"But you won't take the first shot, will you?"
I didn't realize I'd spoken my thoughts aloud until after I had. "Because then you'd be breaking the truce." I saw an emotion in that face, finally. Anger.
"Strike, wizard, or do not strike, and I will take the mortal of your choice from you. You cannot claim the protection of hospitality to them both."
"Get out of the way, Mavra, or don't get out of the way. If you try to stop us from leaving, if you try to hurt anyone under my protection, you'll be dealing with a wizard of the council, a knight of the sword, and a girl with a basket full of garlic and holy water. I don't care how big, bad, and ugly you are. There won't be anything left of you but a greasy spot on the floor."
"You dare," she whispered.
She blurred and came at me. I took a breath, but she'd caught me on the exhale. I had no time to unleash the crystalline blast I'd prepared. Michael and Susan moved at the same time, hands thrusting past me. She held a wooden cross, simple and dark, while he clutched his dagger by the blade. A crusader-style hilt turned up into a cross as well. Both wood and steel flared with a cold, white light as Mavra closed, and she slammed into the light as if it were a solid wall, the shadows in her hand scattering and falling away like sand between her fingers. We stood facing her, my azure power and 2 blazing crosses, which burned with a kind of purity and quiet power I had never seen before. "Blood of the dragon, that old serpent," Michael said quietly. "You and yours have no power here. Your threats are hollow. Your words are empty of truth. Just as your heart is empty of love, your body of life. Cease this now, before you tempt the wrath of the Almighty." He glanced aside at me and added, probably for my benefit, "Or before my friend Harry turns you into a greasy spot on the floor." Mavra walked slowly back up the steps, tendons creaking. She bent and gathered up the skull she dropped at some point during the discussion, then turned back to us, looking down with a quiet smile.
"No matter," she said. "The hour is up." "Hour?" Susan asked me in a tight whisper. "What hour is she talking about, Dresden?" "The hour of socialization," Mavra whispered back.
She continued up the top of the stairs and gently shut the doors leading out. They closed with an ominous boom. All the lights went out, all but the blue nimbus around my hand and the faded glory of the 2 crosses.
"Great," I muttered.
Susan looked frightened, her expression hard and tightly controlled.
"What happens now?"
she whispered, her eyes sweeping around in the dark.
Laughter, gentle and mocking, quiet, hissing, thick, with something wet and bubbling, came from all around us. When it comes to spooky laughter, it's tough to beat vampires. You're going to have to trust me on this one. They know it well. Something glimmered in the dark, and Thomas and Justine appeared in the glow of the power gathered in my hand. He lifted both hands at once and said, "Would you mind terribly if I stood with you?" I glanced at Michael, who frowned, then at Susan, who was looking at Thomas in his next-to-naked glory, somewhat intently. I nudged her with my hip, and she blinked and looked at me.
Oh, no, not at all, I guess. Thomas took Justine's hand, and the two of them stood off to my right, where Michael kept a wary eye on them. Thank you, wizard. I'm afraid I'm not well-loved here. I glanced over at him. There was a mark on his neck, black and angry red, like a brand, in the shape of lovely feminine lips. I would have thought it lipstick, but I sensed a faint odor of burnt meat in the air. What happened to your neck? His face paled a few shades.
Your godmother gave me a kiss.
Damn, I said. Well put. Are you ready? Ready for what? For court to be held, to be given our gifts. The tenuous hold I had on the power faltered, and I lowered my trembling hand, let go of the tension gently before I lost control of it. The last light flickered and went out, leaving us in a darkness I wouldn't have believed possible. And then the darkness was shattered by light. The spotlights again, shining up on the dais, upon the throne there, and Bianca in her flaming dress upon it. Her mouth and throat and the rounded slopes of her breasts were smeared in streaks of fresh blood. Her lips stained scarlet as she smiled down at the darkness, at the dozens of pairs of glowing eyes in it, gazing up at the dais in adoration, or terror, or lust, or all three. All rise, I whispered, as soft whispers and moans rustled up from out of the darkness around us, not at all human. Vampire court is now in session.